one of us. And hopefully those of you listening today don't have the kind of burden that these people we're talking about today are struggling with. But when we have been hurt by anyone, we need to work on getting to that place where we can forgive and move on and still know what to do with our anger, our resentment, and our pain.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you struggling to forgive someone who hurt you? Maybe you've said you forgive them, but you're still hurting or angry, resentful, unsure whether you can continue your relationship with them or what that would look like. Maybe you worry that you haven't really forgiven someone. What if they're not sorry? Or if they keep committing the same offense? Or maybe they're not even in your life anymore. What does forgiveness look like then? Or on the other hand, maybe you're having a difficult time getting someone to forgive you. And the fact is, as Lisa pointed out, forgiveness is complicated. Let's talk about what it means for you to respond to God's call to mercy in your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Whether you are struggling with forgiveness or struggling to get someone to forgive you, this show is for you. 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, how can that possibly help me deal with this situation where I'm struggling to forgive or be forgiven? Well, I'm glad you asked. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections that basically asked the question, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we call the theology of the body.
And that theology of the body reminds us that God calls us to love as he loves. But St. John Paul II also understood that we can't live up to that call on our own. That's why he insisted that mercy is inseparable from God's call to love, and he promoted the devotion to the divine mercy right alongside his other writings, explaining what it means to love others with the love that flows from God's heart.
So in his encyclical Rich in Mercy, St. John Paul wrote that mercy is, quote, love's second name, end quote. You know, the theology of the body sets a really high bar, just as the gospel does, for how we're meant to love in marriage, in family, in all relationships. But St. John Paul knew that we would struggle, and that's why he reminded us that mercy isn't an optional add-on. It's the only way we can keep moving forward toward God's plan when we fall.
Forgiveness is how we make mercy real in daily life. Forgiveness doesn't mean pretending the hurt never happened or letting someone off the hook. St. Augustine said that forgiveness means letting go of the desire to hurt someone for having hurt us.
Forgiveness means saying, I might not feel like it, but I choose to work for your ultimate good anyway, because that's what love requires. And it applies to ourselves, too. You know, too often we beat ourselves up as if punishing ourselves will make us whole here. But St. John Paul reminded us that mercy lifts us up, restores our dignity, and equips us to try again.
So, forgiveness of others and ourselves isn't weakness. It's the strength of love. It's how we cooperate with God's plan to heal our hearts, our relationships, and even the world through mercy.
So on today's show, we are taking your calls about forgiveness. 877-573-7825. Are you struggling to forgive someone who hurt you? Maybe you've said you forgive them, but you're still hurting or angry or resentful inside, unsure whether you can continue your relationship with them or what that would look like. Maybe you worry that you haven't really forgiven someone, even though you said you did. Or what do you do when that person isn't sorry, or they keep committing the same offense, or even if they're no longer in your life? For that matter, Are you having a hard time getting someone to forgive you? Or forgiving yourself? Forgiveness is complicated. Let's talk about what it means for you to respond to God's call to mercy in your life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you those situations where we are struggling to forgive ourselves, or to be forgiven. We ask you, Lord, to help us to know what it means to forgive in our particular situation, to, as your servant Saint Augustine said, to surrender our natural desire for revenge, to give up wanting to hurt that person for having hurt us. Help us to know how to hold people responsible for the offenses they've committed, and insist that they repent and do their best to clean up the messes that they made, but help us to not hold those offenses against the people in our lives. And help us to not hold our offenses against us, but rather to learn from our mistakes, to rejoice in your mercy and cooperate with your grace to heal and move forward. Lord, we are all broken and struggling people, and our relationships reflect that. And you call us to build your kingdom by working to heal the damage that sin has done to all of our relationships. And so, Lord, we bring those hurting and broken relationships to you now, and we ask you to teach us how to forgive as you forgive, so that we can build your kingdom by healing all of those relationships. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Forgive One Another. You know, the forgiveness has been in the news a lot lately, especially with regard to Erica Kirk's very moving speech at her husband's memorial, forgiving her husband's assassin. As we just mentioned, Diane Foley forgiving her son's killer. These are very dramatic examples of forgiveness, but all of us are called to forgive in our own circumstances, and that's hard to do. So even if we're inspired by the actions of others, it can be difficult to know how to make it work for us. And if you're struggling to forgive someone who hurt you, having a hard time getting someone else's forgiveness, or for that matter, forgiving yourself, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Sarah, who listens to EWTN Radio in New Jersey, has a very complex question. She said, my mom drives me crazy. She acts like such a loving, happy person, mother and grandmother, when her friends or other relatives are around. But she's angry, critical, and very depressing when it's just me or me and my kids. My husband was the one who originally pointed this out to me when we got married. I was so used to it, I didn't see it. I thought everyone's parents behave this way. Now that my kids are 5 and 3, I see it could really affect them, and honestly, I feel like she is constantly lying when others are around, and that she doesn't care how much she hurts me over and over again. How do I forgive her when I don't feel like she'll ever change? Is there a way for me to heal this inside myself? Or is there a way for me to change this pattern in her so it stops affecting me and my kids so much? I honestly seem to get angrier every single time I see her because it just shows me how toxic she is. And that's Sarah in New Jersey.
All right, Sarah, thank you so much for the question, and I'm so sorry that you're going through that. It's incredibly difficult when we have a complicated relationship with a parent, because we do love our parents and we want them to love us, but sometimes, because parents are broken just like we are, those relationships are difficult to navigate. It's good that you're seeing this, that your husband's pointing this out to you, and I think it's important to be able to set a few boundaries here. The first one being, I'd like you to really get a notebook and kind of write out the, say, last half dozen times your mom has said something that you found hurtful or difficult to be on the receiving end of. And I'd like you to sit down in prayer and ask God to help you find the words to let your mom know that that hurt. And then write out the thing you wish you had said then.
Not the thing she wishes mom had said, thing she wishes she had said.
That's right, that Sarah had said. Because we can't change the other person, right? All we can do is invite the other person to change, both with our words or our boundaries. And the first step is really identifying what you would even say. Because we need to give your mom a chance to address her behavior by you confronting her directly and charitably. Okay, we you know, a lot of times we run right to, you know, cutoffs or not letting, you know, saying you can't be in my life anymore.
Yeah, and as Sarah is saying in her email, she says she doesn't think her mom will ever change because this is such a lifelong pattern. Perhaps, though, doubtful, but perhaps she hasn't seen the pattern herself. She grew up with a certain way of being. She's been this way for a long time. Maybe if Sarah's doing what you say, it could open the door to change.
Right, so that's step one. And the point of going back over the last half dozen things or so that she's said and then identifying what you wish you had said back then is that chances are good that your mom's going to do similar things in the future. I mean, she might use slightly different words or the circumstances might be slightly different, but it's going to be basically the same pattern. And if you go back over the last half dozen or so times when she's hurt you, and you identify, well, this is what I wish I could have said charitably to challenge her on this. Then that helps to prime you for the next time it happens and you're mentally rehearsing what to say. I would suggest to you that what you want to say falls along kind of the framework of, hey, Mom, I love you very much, but when you say that kind of stuff, it really hurts me, and I don't know what you mean by it. Can you help me understand what you're trying to say? Because what it does is it calls out the offense without attacking your mom, and it forces her to actually think about what she's saying and what she's trying to communicate. And she might even back off. She might say, well, I didn't mean anything about it. What are you talking about? Well, no, but what did you mean? Because you're clearly trying to say something to me, and it was kind of hurtful the way you did it, but I want to assume that you're not trying to offend me or hurt me in some way. So what were you really trying to say there? It lets her know that you're aware that this is happening and that you've got a charitable way to call her on it that makes her think about her words. And other people don't do that. So by asking her to actually think about what she's saying, that is the best chance to create some kind of change there. Now, that's step one. If that doesn't work, the next step is to sit down with your husband and to prayerfully, I mean, really take this to God, ask what boundaries you might need to set on the relationship. And what I mean by that is, when a person isn't willing to change when they've been charitably confronted with their behavior, the next step is to trim the relationship back like a bush, you know, so it grows up
like
healthier.
A shrub, yeah.
Trim the relationship back to the point where you feel safe in it. And at first, you might say, "Well, I don't ever feel safe." And when I say safe, I don't mean physically safe. I mean that too. But really, what I'm talking about is, the situations where you can be around your mom and not have to spend the rest of the day putting yourself back together again. You know, it might still be a little challenging. She might still not be perfect, but you can handle this, but you can't handle that. So you ask yourself, are these physical boundaries? You know, where, you know, I can talk to her on the phone, but I can't see her in person, or I can talk to her in public, but I can't have her to my house, or I can talk to her about these particular topics, but not those other topics because she tends to kind of be offensive with those things.
And you don't have to know the exact answer right away. You can try it stepwise. You know, I can only see her out of the house because that puts her in that other people are around persona, and that's more comfortable. She won't attack me or my kids in any way. No, that's not working. She's still making side comments or being snide about something because it's just us at the table at the restaurant. Okay, I'll just talk to her on the phone. That way, if she starts this pattern, you can say, I gotta go, Mom. Got so much to do. Bye, and hang up the phone. You see, you can look at this in steps to see and test out where you can feel more of a sense of safety and control in the relationship.
And when you make those boundaries, you don't necessarily even have to tell her. What you do is you let the boundary do the talking for you.
Yeah.
Right? So let's say, just for the sake of argument, you decide that you can only see Mom in, like, you know, public places because she tends to behave herself better there. And so she says, you know, can I come over to the house? And you're like, well, no, that wouldn't really work for me. Let's meet at this park, or let's meet at this restaurant, or whatever. And she's like, well, how come I'm never coming over to the house anymore? It's like, well, Mom, you know, I tried to talk to you about, you know, when you come over, you tend to say these things or do these things. It really hurt me, and you didn't want to hear it. And I would love to be able to have you back to the house, but I can't do that until I can see you changing that part of you, because it hurts too much, and I don't want to feel resentment toward you, and I don't want to put you in the situation where you're going to do a hurtful thing. So this is the best we can do for now. And if you'd like to be able to come over to the house more, then I need you to really work on that. You see what's happening? You're not cutting her off. You're setting a boundary, but you're holding the door open to the possible reconciliation. And then Mom has to decide whether she likes insulting you more or loves you more. And that's her choice. But you're clarifying the choice. And that's how you set a healthy boundary with someone. It's not cutting them off. It's giving them a healthy way forward. We talk more about this in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. I also talk about this in Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, which talks about the kind of relationship boundaries we need to set to protect us from anxiety that comes from unhealthy relationships too. So those two resources can help you move forward. And thank you so much for the call. If you need more personalized support, I encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can help you find faithful ways to respond to this challenge and to heal the wounds in your own heart that your mom has inflicted. Thanks again, Sarah, for the question. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. We're talking about forgiveness today on More to Life. Are you struggling to forgive someone who hurt you? Get forgiveness from someone you hurt, or even forgive yourself. Let's talk about what responding to God's call to mercy means and looks like in your life. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after this.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to The Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
But that was my past. If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, The Kevin Matthews Story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, forgive one another. We're talking about the challenge of forgiveness. Forgiveness has been in the news a lot lately, and especially in light of Erica Kirk's inspiring speech where she forgave her husband's assassin. You know, we're all kind of challenged to forgive the people in our life who've hurt us. But that's hard. And sometimes, you know, we say we've forgiven somebody, but we still struggle to really do it. Sometimes the person continues to commit the offenses. Sometimes we're having a hard time getting others to forgive us, or to forgive ourselves for that matter. However, forgiveness is complicated for you. Let's talk it out and find some answers at 877-573-7825. You know, we talk a lot about the theology of the body on the show, and one of the mottos or slogans that people who teach the theology of the body have is that biology is theology. That the way God designed our bodies teaches us a lot about God's plan for our life and relationships. Well, new research on the neuroscience of forgiveness shows that forgiveness has profound impact on the brain. A recent study had people in an MRI scanner, and they were instructed while they were in the machine to think about forgiving someone that hurt them, or think about times that they had forgiven someone who hurt them. And what they found was that act of forgiveness, even thinking about forgiveness, activated certain brain structures and neural pathways that were associated with resilience, social connection, motivation, emotional regulation, and empathy. Forgiveness helps people recover from painful experience on the neurological level by helping us acknowledge hurt and releasing painful associations with the offender. It truly is a gift that we give ourselves.
Now, you can experience that in your own body when you even begin to think about being able to forgive someone. All of that tightness of holding on to the anger and the fear and all of those experiences that you've gone through with a person lightens a little bit, releases a little bit. So we can feel it just in our day-to-day what this MRI scan really showed happened in the brain.
But I want to be clear about this, too. The forgiving somebody, as St. Augustine pointed out, is when we surrender our desire to hurt someone for having hurt us. But that doesn't mean that we can't still want that person to face the consequences of their actions, specifically so that they would repent and change and clean up the mess. It's not that we want them to suffer. It's that we want whatever, we want to work for their good. And working for somebody's good means that, well, repenting and working to do what they can to heal the damage they caused. And sometimes an important part of that is the person accepting the consequences for their actions as well. So we can forgive someone but still say, I need you to do X, Y, or Z. Or you need to take responsibility for A, B, or C. Or I need to see you do thus and such to heal the damage your actions caused. That's not being unforgiving. Forgiveness is just surrendering that desire to hurt them for having hurt you, but then also holding them to account so that they can repent, and they have the chance, at least, to heal the damage their actions have caused. Let's talk about how forgiveness can be applied in your relationships at 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your calls right after this.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the Church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. The key to being effective at handling conflict is keeping a close eye on our own emotional temperature. On a scale of 1 to 10, you never want to allow yourself to get over a 7, especially when you're in disagreement with someone. How do you know when you're getting too hot? One of the first behavioral signs that we are approaching a 7 on our emotional temperature scale is that we start to speak and act too quickly for our brain to keep up. We start to trip over our words. We make silly, avoidable mistakes like knocking over a glass that we're reaching for. When our emotional temperature gets too high, we lose track of details, which makes it harder to solve problems and often makes us do and say things that make problems even worse. To lower your stress temperature, one deceptively simple technique is to deliberately slow down. Speak a little more slowly than you want to. Or instead of thinking of all the things you have to do next, focus your mind on what you're doing now. Consciously slowing down lets your thinking brain catch up with your feeling brain, which lets your whole brain work on resolving the conflict. To learn more, check out our book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And today on More to Life, forgive one another. Excuse me, I lost my place. We're talking about forgiveness today on More to Life. Are you struggling to forgive someone who hurt you? Or get forgiveness from someone that you hurt? For that matter, forgive yourself. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's talk about how to respond to God's call to mercy in your life. 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another longtime EWTN radio partner. Salt and Light Radio marks 16 years with us.
Fantastic. Congratulations. Their 11 stations serve Idaho in English and Spanish. Congratulations to Keith Pettyjohn and his great team at Salt and Light Radio from all of us here at EWTN. And wherever you're tuning in to your local EWTN Catholic radio station, make sure you're supporting that station with your prayers, but also with your dollars. We want to keep EWTN radio going strong for decades to come so that we can keep supporting you and all those that you love and living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. Thanks again to Keith Pettyjohn and his great team at Salt and Light Radio, to all the folks who make Catholic radio possible, and to you for all of your continued support. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about forgiveness on our show titled Forgive One Another. Are you struggling to forgive someone who hurt you? Are you having a hard time getting someone to forgive you for having hurt them? Or maybe forgiving yourself for things that you've done that you regret. However, forgiveness is getting hung up in your life and relationships, let us help you respond to God's call to mercy at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with David, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
David, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, good morning. I'm struggling to more like forgive myself. This happened many years ago. I was a victim of domestic violence, and this person ended up going to court, this person ended up hitting me, and on the day of the his arrest, he left a big bruise on my underneath my left arm. But the abuser was also close to throwing me up against the flat screen TV and almost pushed my head into the wall. And also,
that's all terrifying, David. I'm so sorry you went through that.
So when you say you're struggling to forgive yourself for you were abused, how are you struggling to forgive yourself? What does that mean?
To do the work of God, you know, the Lord says something about forgiving yourself for anything that you've done to hurt the Lord God, especially Jesus and His commandments.
Well, David, no, you didn't do anything to hurt this person; they hurt you. And so, you know, I want to talk about what it means to forgive in a situation like this. Right? So, this person who hurt you, you know, you're saying that they went to court for it and that they were arrested for it and they you know, presumably received some kind of punishment for it.
And somehow you're thinking that because they experienced the consequences of the harm that they did to you, that is somehow your fault. And it is not.
No. And so forgiveness doesn't require us to make a relationship work all by ourselves. You know, forgiveness means I'm not going to hurt you for having hurt me. I'm going to wish the best for you. And part of wishing the best for someone who hurt us is asking that they accept the consequences of their actions so that they can repent and change. You know, if we don't experience the consequences of our actions, we just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And so the fact that this person was arrested and had to go to court and suffered some punishment for it, presumably that was a good thing because that let them know that this was unacceptable. So wanting them to go through that process and wanting them to, you know, face the consequences of their actions is not unforgiveness on your part. Now, you know, if you were saying, I want them to suffer, well, that is unforgiveness, okay? But saying, you know, look, I don't want bad things to happen to them, but I want them to repent. And, you know, they're not repenting, and so they need to face the consequences of their actions as an invitation to that repentance. That's not unforgiveness. That's justice, which is also a virtue. So I thank you for the call, David, but I want you to recognize that, you know, when we're the victim of violence, sometimes we feel guilty, we feel shamed, we feel vulnerable, but that's not a sign that we've not been forgiving. It's a sign that we need to heal and that God is calling us to work for justice in that situation. So thank you for the call. 877-573-7825. We're talking about forgiveness today on More to Life. Whether you are struggling to forgive someone who hurt you, having a difficult time getting someone to forgive you for having hurt them, or even forgiving yourself, let's talk about what that means in your life. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida on Divine Mercy Radio.
Hi, Mary. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Good morning. So my younger brother, I hasn't spoken to me in 20 years, and I don't even know why. There was a lot of, I don't even know what the word is. He just felt, I guess he just felt like I didn't trust him. With some of my mother's, our mother's issues, but, you know, I thought we came to an agreement on it, but he won't even engage. I've written to him, asked him forgiveness for whatever it was that I did, and, you know, hopefully.
So how can we help you today? What are you struggling with now? Because this has been a 20-year situation. So where is this coming up for you now?
I just, you know, we're older, and I would love to have a relationship with my brother. And I don't even know what to do with it.
When was the last time you had any kind of contact where you tried to reach out to him?
When my father died 5 years ago.
Okay.
And when your father died, he did not come to the funeral. He's just left the whole family behind, or did he show up and not talk to you? What was that situation?
Yeah, no, he was there. Did a lot for my dad because I live in Florida and my dad was in Tennessee, and Michael, my brother, lives there. So he did a lot for my dad, our dad. And when I was up there many times as he was dying, it was civil. There was no conversation, you know. And we were there together when he died, and I thought maybe that would change things. But it, you know, nothing changed when our younger brother died, nothing changed when mother died, and nothing has changed since our dad
died. So you've gone through these three great losses in your family, and you said it was civil, but at any of those funerals or any of the events around the funerals and deaths of these family members, did you try to say to him then, why can't we have a real conversation? What's the history? I want to be able to fix this. And what was his response? Just nothing?
Yeah, I just said, you know, I really want to talk. You know, what's going on? And he's like, just shook his head and walked away.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm so sorry, Mary.
So, Mary, that's really painful.
So painful.
And we can, you can certainly pray for your brother and pray that you can be united in the next life, if not this one. But God does not ask us to make relationships work all by ourselves. In fact, even God can't do that. Let me explain what I mean. You know, God emptied himself and became man in the form of Jesus Christ, right? And he suffered, died, and rose again for us to forgive us and to extend an invitation to be in relationship with him. But even after all that, a lot of people still reject that invitation and aren't in relationship with him. He went to greater lengths than any of us would or could ever go to try to build relationship, and he's still rejected for that. And we can't ordain ourselves to do what even God can't do, make someone love him, make someone want to be in relationship with him.
Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest gifts he's given us, but and it's an unfortunate gift for many of us, is the gift of free will. But unfortunately, many of us choose to harden our hearts to him and to our loved ones at times, instead of being open to him and his Holy Spirit and the promptings of God and the people that he's given us to love us.
So I think you've done everything that you can do. If you feel like you would like to extend one more invitation to him and say, look, we're getting older now, and I would really love to be able to have a relationship with my brother in these later years of my life, and if you're willing to work on that with me or even just talk with me, I'd be open to that. But I respect the boundary that you've set. And if you would like to talk with me, and I would really love to talk with you, please reach out when you're ready. And then you have to leave the relationship in his hands. And if he doesn't respond, you have to give yourself permission to grieve that relationship. Because as painful as that is, we need to recognize that we do not have the power to make relationships happen on our own, and that God doesn't hold us accountable for that. You know, God is not saying, you know, Mary, it's your job to move heaven and earth to make your brother want to be in relationship with you. You don't even know what you would need to apologize for, if you have anything to apologize for. He's behaving in a very immature and unhealthy way, because he at least should tell you what the problem is and give you a chance to work on it. If he's not willing to do that, you've got nothing to work with, and you're not responsible for making the relationship work on your own. So if you want to extend one more invitation to say, you know, look, I'd like to have a relationship with you, but I do respect your boundary, and I won't be reaching out again if you don't want to talk to me.
Not in a threatening way, but just saying I will keep that boundary and not reach out again.
I hope that you will reach out to me, because I love you and I miss you.
And remember to ask God before you write that email, you know, Lord, let me use your words, and if it's at all in your will, please sway my brother's heart and open his heart to a relationship with me. If not, please heal my heart, because this is really painful for me.
And once you've done that, then work on letting go of the relationship, grieving it, being open to the possibility that he may, if he ever did reach out to you, that you'd be willing to have a relationship with him. You don't want to shut the door on him. But give yourself permission to stop working on the relationship and to stop feeling guilty that the relationship doesn't exist, because you're asking yourself to do something, as I said, that even God can't do. And that's setting ourselves up for failure. Mary, I'm so sorry that this is happening, but I believe that there's a lot of freedom in what I'm suggesting to you, and giving yourself permission to grieve this relationship and understanding that it's not your job to fix it all by yourself. We are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about forgiveness today on More to Life. Our show is titled Forgive One Another. Are you struggling to forgive someone or get their forgiveness or even forgive yourself? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Colossians chapter 3, verse 13.
Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you.
You know, again, a reminder of the importance of forgiveness, but it's also important to know what forgiveness is not. And we've been talking a lot about that through the course of this show. You know, forgiveness means giving up your desire to hurt someone for having hurt you and wishing them the best. But wishing somebody who hurt you the best also means wishing that they would accept responsibility for their actions and going through whatever they need to go through to accept that responsibility. So it doesn't mean letting somebody off the hook. It doesn't mean pretending that the thing didn't happen. The catechism even says that we can't forget an offense. It's not possible to not forget or feel an offense. So it's forgiving somebody doesn't mean that you don't still hurt from it or that you somehow remember it. Of course you do. It happened to you. Forgiveness just means that I'm not going to hurt you for having hurt me, and I wish you well. That anything else that happens beyond that is the process of reconciliation, which is dependent in large part on how that person responds to your forgiveness and what they do next. So St. Paul reminding us of that importance of surrendering that desire to hurt others and compound the injury that's been done to the body of Christ by our own actions. But it's also important to realize what those limits are. So let's talk more about that when we come back from the break at 877-573-7825. Are you struggling to forgive someone who hurt you? Or get forgiveness from someone you hurt? Or even forgive yourself? 877-573-7825. Back with more of your questions after this.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Forgive One Another. As we talk about forgiveness and the challenge of both giving forgiveness to people who've hurt us, getting forgiveness from the people we've hurt, or even forgiving ourselves, 877 573-7825.
Greg, we have an email here from Kim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania. She says, "My husband has betrayed me several times. I keep forgiving him, and then it happens again. I am miserable and scared and angry. I don't know how to forgive him if it happens again, and I don't know how to forgive myself for allowing myself to be so vulnerable. I have 3 children under the age of 15, and I don't know how I would provide for them if I gave up on this marriage, and I also don't want to risk my eternal soul by getting a divorce. I'm just stuck and feeling miserable and scared, and I know I should forgive him as his wife. What should I do?" And that's Kim in Pennsylvania.
Kim, thanks so much for the question. I'm so sorry. My heart's breaking for you as Lisa was reading that email. I want to start by saying that you're not endangering your soul if you did consider a divorce. The church in the catechism even says, although divorce is a serious concern, it is sometimes permissible in those instances where not just protecting your physical safety, but protecting finances or other serious issues. This is something. This is a decision that you can't make on your own. This is a decision you need to be making with good, faithful guidance of a pastor, a pastoral counselor, somebody who can really help you navigate both the spiritual and practical dimensions of the larger decision. For my part here, for our part, what I'd like to talk to you about is what forgiveness requires and how it's different from codependence, because I think that's really what you're dealing with, that you've confused the two. And with codependence, what we do is we say, I'm not going to hold the person responsible for what they did. I'm not going to require that they go through some process where they are given the opportunity to fix the damage they caused or get the skills that they need to not do those things again or to heal themselves, the whatever wounds are driving their offensive behavior.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, if you were on the line here with us, I would want to know, Kim, is has he been through a process of healing? Have you gone through marital counseling? Has he gone through counseling for what is perhaps sexual addiction? When you forgive him, is it because he is not only asked to be forgiven, but has 100% bought into healing the wrong that he has done? Or is this something where he just goes, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do it again? You forgive him, and then he continues in the behavior because he's not being held accountable in any way.
But I would say in either case, even if you've gone through some process, it's not enough to go through the motions of a process. You have to actually
Important
work
point.
A program,
yeah.
Right? You have to see real progress, real consistent effort. And that's not being unforgiving, requiring him to do that process. My suspicion, based on reading between the lines in your email, is that you felt that forgiving him just meant saying, I'm not going to hold you accountable for this. I'm not going to hold this against you in any way. And that is not what forgiveness is. You know, to forgive him, to wish him the best in spite of the way he's hurt you, is, in this case, to insist that he do what he has to do to be the godly man, the godly husband, and godly father that he says, at least, that he wants to be. Right? And letting him get away with anything less than that is not forgiveness, it's codependency. When we do shows on anger, we reference St. John Chrysostom's quote, and I'm going to paraphrase here, that he who is not angry where he has cause to be sins. Because if we're not angry about an offense, if we don't hold that person accountable, then they tend to just do the same thing over and over again. We need to put them through the process that is required, that they need to repent and to heal and to clean up the mess and not do it again. So my encouragement to you, number one, would be getting good counseling, mentoring from a pastor, from a pastoral counselor, in learning what it would mean for you to hold your husband accountable for this. You know, the question about divorce, that's too big a question to even be considering right now. You need to figure out how to set the kind of boundaries that would call him to repentance. And you're going to need support to do that because you've struggled to make that happen all along. And so, you know, by the way, I want to make clear here, this is, his actions are not your fault. I'm not in any way suggesting that because you've done what you've done, that caused him to act this way.
Not at all. And I'd like to really say that if if the two of you, especially him, got excellent counseling and really worked a program for him, there is still a chance that this marriage can be saved. So we're not saying one or the other. We're just addressing the fact that you're worried about your immortal soul in this situation.
But I think that, you know, having said that, it's not your fault that he's doing these things. There's a lot you can do to make it more difficult for him to continue down this path. And as a godly woman, as a prophetic woman of God who's in your home, who's called to call your husband and your children to be everything God created them to be, setting these healthy boundaries is your next step. And if there's something that we can do to support you in that process, I hope you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com so that we can give you that faithful guidance that you need to learn how to set healthy and appropriate boundaries in this situation and how that fits into the process of both forgiveness and reconciliation. Thank you again for the email. And this goes for you listeners as well. If you are struggling with forgiveness in any way, I hope you'll reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's pastoral telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.